All right, how's that? All right, the scripture reading this morning is James 1, 18 through 27. If you're using a Bible under the seat, this passage is located on page 699. You're welcome to open your Bible and follow along. It will also be available on the screens. The Word of God says, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world."
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We come here with many burdens and thoughts, and you know what's going on in our hearts, God. You know what happened in our last week. You know everything. So we come here this morning looking for honey, and you have honey for us. You have sweet goodness. And we need that so bad. Probably more than we realize. Would your word be that kind of sustenance for us? Please be with us. Please be with me. May you be honored and exalted. May this passage come alive into our hearts so that we would do it, so we would obey. We would obey you. Live out the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life is, I mentioned last week, is an already, not yet reality. That's what we live in. We live in an already, not yet reality. We are already saved, but we are not yet saved. That's how James describes our Christian life. Already children of God, already declared righteous before God, but yet not yet saved from every consequence of sin, the indwelling sin in us, the sin in the world. We press forward into that reality. We are already saved and not yet saved. We talked about completion, perfection, no lack last week. And we press forward into that. We're going somewhere in our faith, right? By enduring trials. That was last week. We endure trials and that grows us. God uses the trials in our life to actually grow us, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. And in this passage, James is using chapter 1 to kind of establish the direction of the entire letter. We are told that we press forward through obedience to the word. He says this so many different ways. Receive the implanted word. Do the word. Don't just hear it. Don't let it just come into your head and out your head and have no effect on your life, your action, your response. Persevere in the word. Act upon the word. Pursue a kind of religion that is pure and undefiled. In other words, live it out. That's how we press forward in this passage. That's how we're growing as Christians. Already saved, not yet saved. We are being saved. This morning, he's inviting us to a meal. James is inviting us to a meal. And maybe it's a meal that'll surprise you. I hope it surprises you in a really good way, in an encouraging way. When you sit down to a meal, you expect balance, a balanced meal. Multiple dishes, multiple courses. Those are the best meals, like Thanksgiving, right? And balanced meals, as we all know, are both bitter and sweet. There's bitter but necessary salad. Salad is slightly bitter, takes some work to get it down. A balanced meal requires that, though. We know that. It's good for us. Bitter but necessary. And a balanced meal is sweet, too. Maybe you eat the bitter to get the sweet. They don't really balance each other out that way, I hope you know. But you endure the bitter salad knowing that you will get ice cream. Sweet ice cream. Ice cream is good. Ice cream is sweet. Ice cream just goes down easy. There's no bitterness in ice cream. So in a balanced meal, we expect some of that necessary bitterness, some salad, and some sweetness. The sweet ice cream that's part of that balanced meal. So James, he's invited us in. So we're sitting down. You're sitting down. Just look at this passage. He's got a meal laid for you. For you to sit down, you're at the table. He sits us down, and he instantly blows us away. He doesn't meet the expectations we have. We're expecting a balanced meal, and James says, "I've only got one dish served for tonight. It's only one course, only one dish. There's no balance in this meal." There's only one dish being served to us. So the question is it bitter or is it sweet? Is this good or is it slightly bitter but necessary? What part of the meal is James serving? Is it going to go down like ice cream? Does James 1, 19 through 27 or 18 through 27, does that go down like ice cream? Or is it bitter but needed salad? Is that what this passage is? I think a lot of my life, James 1, 19 through 27, was salad. This is grin it, bear it, salad. There's only one dish. This is what the dish is called. So on the cloche, the name of the dish is the Word. That's the dish. We're eating from one meal, one dish tonight. The Word. That's all he's got for you. Four times in the passage. The Word, the Word, the Word. He's only offering one course in this meal. One source is offered for us to draw from. And the Word is that one source. Just to help ensure that this is critically important for us as we consider what this one source is, we're about to partake of it. James calls us to be doers of this word. There's one source for you to find your sustenance, and you must obey it. Do it. That's kind of the main point of the passage. Obedience to this word. Receive the implanted word. Be doers, persevere, act upon. And this word is a critically important source for James. And it's critical for every biblical author, as far as I'm aware, for true Christians to obey. Obey the word. So we can't overlook this source. Can't overlook this warning in this passage. Listen to the warning in this passage for those who do not eat of this word fully. He says, If you are not a doer of the word, but simply a hearer, you're living worthless religion. You're self-deceived. To not do this word is to engage in self-deception. Call yourself a Christian, but not doing the word in your life, that's a self-deceived person. I don't want to be self-deceived. In other words, I desire that same thing for you. We don't want to be self-deceived. I'm praying for us that we would not be self-deceived. Living our whole life. This is what he's saying. This is what he means by self-deception. Living your life with the label Christian and at the same time not being a Christian. Not doing the word. It's serious. I hope none of us would, none of us really would we be okay with being self-deceived, like thinking something is true and it being not true. This is serious. And maybe you're asking that now. Am I a doer of this? Am I eating of this course? Am I a Christian? If you're asking that question, I just listen. This is so, so good. So good for my heart. If you're fearful this morning, just remember this. James only gives us one dish. Before you give in to fear about your obedience to the word, there's a prior question, I think, to ask. Here's what you need to ask. Is what he's offering me sweet, or is it bitter? That's what I want you to kind of consider as we look at this passage. Is the word that we're taking, is it bitter or is it sweet? What part of the meal is the word? Sweet ice cream or is it bitter but necessary salad? If you understand what the dish is, if you see what the dish is through the eyes of faith, you will eat this meal. You will love this meal. You will want this meal. You will live your entire life, the rest of your life, off of this one source for the rest of your life. I can guarantee it. If you see this, if you see that this is good, life-changing. Really is. So to grasp the passage, we need to understand what the one course is, what this one source. I've already said it's the word. What does he mean by word? We got to grasp that. Because I think it can be, we can quickly put a label on what he means and kind of miss the point he's trying to say. Is it bitter or is it sweet? So we're going to take two bites, two tastes. He gives us two different kinds of tastes of this word dish. And oh man, it's sweet. I just tell you, it's sweet. And then we're going to apply it because most of this passage, as you can see, is how you do it. Like how do you keep taking this in? How do you keep consuming this one dish that you get? You get one meal and you get to eat it the rest of your life. And every bite is good. Okay, so that two parts. First, two tastes. Second, look at all the application. All the application of how do you do the word? How do you do the word with your tongue? How do you do the word with your ears? How do you do the word with your emotions? How do you do the word toward the people who are needy? How do you do the word to the world? How do you be doers of the word? That's the second part. So first, what is the word James speaks about? Now this is where I just want to kind of throw my hand and say what I think we typically think about, what I typically think about when I think of word. When I think of word, I think word, Bible. That's not an untrue statement, but what does James think when he says word? What's in James's mind when he says, and he gives us some indications, and they are wonderful, wonderful indications. Oh man, if Martin Luther would have seen what the word is in James. When you see the word, Every time, and I'm going to say it a lot, every time I say it under your breath, just say, gospel. Okay? That's the task. As we go through this sermon, I'm going to say word, and just every time, gospel. No, gospel. Okay? The word is at least, it's at least this, it's more than this, but it's at least the full gospel. Full gospel, the total gospel of Jesus. The word is it's revelation from God. So God speaks to us in his word. It's both seen in and through this full gospel of Jesus. So I'm not undermining the scriptures, just so to be clear. We rely on the word of God. But when James says word, gospel, just have that in your mind. What I mean by this is by seen in and through, I mean that the word, it's true historical information. It's something that we know and believe, something about Christ that he has done that we believe, true historical information. And it's like a lens, something we see through. It's a lens through which we see all of God's word coming alive through the word. Does it make sense? Probably not. We'll keep pressing in. Please, Lord, make this clear. Make this clear. So when you see word, you cannot separate it from this full gospel of Jesus. I've got a slide to kind of show what I mean by full gospel of Jesus. Can you show that, Brandon? Gospel word. Life, teaching, death, burial, resurrection, ascension. Full gospel. All that Jesus is for us. I've got another slide just to show how we typically think of gospel, just to kind of show this to be clear. This is the heart of the gospel. This is what we preach. Like, this is what we need. Like, if someone comes to you and says, how do I be saved? You tell them that Jesus, the Son of God, died for you, was buried, and rose again, and through that, His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, through him, through this sacrifice, you are saved. That's the heart of the gospel. Beautiful. The climax, the ultimate point of the gospel. We don't have to say, oh, you cannot be saved until you understand every single facet of the depths of the gospel and all its implication and all of scripture. No, you need to know that Jesus died for you, he was buried, he rose again, and he's ascended, and he's reigning now. You trust in him, you give your life to him, you'll be saved. This is how we typically think of the heart of the gospel. Second slide. We think this is the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel. But all that Christ is for us is the gospel. That's what I'm trying to say by full gospel. Thank you, Brandon. Okay, let's take a taste. The first taste is a little first bite. You could call this the word already done in you, if you're trusting in Christ. It's the word already done in you, it's according to James. In other words, this word is transformational. Whatever this word is that James is talking about, it is a transformational word. Look at verse 18. This is what I mean. Consider verse 18 here. Of God's own will, I know we saw this last week, he brought us forth by the word of truth. First of four times, all in this passage, James uses this word. And it's the only time he uses it in the entire letter. So last week we saw that of God's own will, he birthed us. He gave us a new birth, that literally he brought us forth. He gave birth to us. He gave us a new heart. He gave us Christ, and we have him now. We are saved. We're transformed. For the purposes of this week, just notice the progression here. How did God birth you? What did he do? Like, how did he do it? By the word of truth, right? What word does God use to create new birth? What word does God use to transform? He uses a gospel word. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, and through his death and resurrection, all your sin, all your running is covered by him. New birth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. God used the word to bring us forth, the gospel of our salvation. This is a transforming word. Whatever this word is, it's transforming, it's transformational. Word, gospel. Okay, and he continues this. Oh, excuse me. Let me just show you. We have other places in the Bible that show us that when that word of truth is a reference to the gospel. In Colossians 1:5, the Apostle Paul shows us that the word of truth refers to the gospel as the word of truth. And I'm not going to go to it, but write down 1 Peter 1:23 through 25, where Peter actually talks about this idea of being born again, and he says that we've been born again by the word of God. And he says that's the good news preached to you. So this is not, I'm not just like throwing darts at a board here. This is in the scriptures, that the word is the gospel. Okay, he adds to this in James though. Do you see that this is a transformational word? It's something already done in you. If you've trusted in Christ, it's something already done, like it's done. In verse 21, where is the word? Where's the word? It's planted in you. Do you see that? Receive with meekness the implanted word. It's in me. And now just a caveat, only in you if you're in Christ. Only in you if you're in Christ. This is not an implanted word in every heart. This is not the knowledge of God implanted in every heart. This is the word seed. Jesus uses a very similar analogy. Remember the parable of the sower? The word gets sown and it hits the good soil and it, boom, takes fruit. Planted into the hearts. The word is implanted into the heart. What word is it? What word gets planted into the heart that I would be saved? Gospel word, isn't it? Gospel word. It's a word that is believed by faith. It's a word that must be heard. It's a word that's proclaimed. You think you have a word to share about Jesus Christ that plants new hearts into people, transforms hearts. That's what the word is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. So this is sweet, isn't it? Like, what dish is he serving us? The dish is called the word, and this is a word that has given you new birth. It's given you a new life. You didn't work for it. Gift of God's own will, bringing you forth. This is a good word. This is not bitter salad. Is this bitter salad? Is there hopelessness in this word? Oh, the ground of all hope is in this word. This word is a sweet dish, isn't it? This is a sweet dish. Everything you've ever done, all the stuff that God already knows, all the cheating, all the lying, all the fighting, all the stuff he already knows, all the stuff that you've hidden, he knows, and in Christ, washed away. You got a burden? You need this word. This is not bitter salad. This is ice cream. This is take it in. I can't stop taking it in. I want more of it. Isn't this good? This is good. A good word. We're going to take a second bite now. Is it going to be bitter? Because he keeps talking about the word in this passage. Is it going to be bitter now? What's the second bite? Is it going to leave a bitter taste in my mouth? The second bite is that the word is something done in us that we do. I think that's the way to describe it. The word is something done in me. It's implanted in me. It's given me a new heart that I do. Look at verse 21 and just read it and consider what he's actually saying. This is where the doing starts, actually. We think the doing starts in verse 22. No, look at verse 21. Receive the implanted word. Receive the implanted word. Act upon the implanted word. Don't plant the word. Do you see? The word is planted, Christian, if you've trusted in Christ. This is a message for Christians. Remember, let's step back. If you are questioning and you haven't trusted in Christ yet, the word is not planted. This is for Christians. Receive the implanted word. Or, as I've been saying to myself all week, receive what I've received. Like, receive what's already been implanted into me. How do I do that? Like, it's there. Seems like circular reasoning. I don't think it actually is circular reasoning, but like, go to bed because it's time to go to bed. It's time to go to bed because it's time to go to bed. It's like he's saying that. Where's the logic in that? Receive what you've already received. This is what he's trying to say. We can receive what we have received. If my current command, like what he's telling me to do, to receive, is grounded in something I've already received. You see? It's there. Receive it. Not truly circular. In other words, I can't obey this command if it's not planted. One precedes the other. One's more important. Here's another thing that I've been throwing around in my head, just to maybe help us understand this. Love the one you love. Love the one you love. We get that. We get that statement without explanation. Love, as an action, the one you love. Why do you love them? Why do you take the action of loving them? Because there's love there. It's in your heart. It's not circular. It's not circular reasoning. We get the command to love the one we love because we know that our love, as an action, is grounded in the love we already have. And I think that's what James is trying to do for us. Receive what's implanted in you. He's done it. It's in you. Receive it. Live it. And as he says, how do you receive the word? You do it. Obey it. Follow it. And he says it so many different ways. Do it. Persevere in it. Act upon it. He wants us to obey the word, doesn't he? Like, that's what he wants us to do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. In other words, this isn't just for my head. Like, this is not just for my head. This is not just for orders of service and church liturgy. This is for life. This is what I need to live. Not something I just take in with my head, but something that actually I do. He's saying, do the gospel. Do the gospel. Do the word. But I've done it already. Like, isn't that been done? Like, that's the point. Let's go back to that circular reasoning. Isn't the word something that's been done, so what's there left to do? That's the question I have. What's there left to do? It's all done. It's all done. And this is where I think he gets really helpful, because did you notice in verse 25, he, without apology, seamlessly transitions between word and law. Do you see? Look at verse 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then in verses 23 through 24, he gives us an analogy of what it looks like to just hear the word. It's like looking at a mirror and going away and you forget what you looked like. No change. Right after that, He seamlessly replaces word with law. But the one who looks into the, we want him to say word, right? The word. No, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is where the idea of full gospel comes. It's like the full gospel of Jesus. The heart of the gospel is in Christ, everything washed away, all your sin. And the full gospel is in Christ, you have a Savior, you have a Lord to follow. And he has instructions for us. Instructions that we must do with meekness, as he says. Receive, again, that's an action, with meekness. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. The gospel implanted in me is the gospel I now get to do in following him wherever he goes. I'm doing the gospel. As a Christian, I'm doing the gospel. I'm living out the gospel. We're so prone to deceiving ourselves into thinking that there's no doing in the gospel. James is going to have a strong word for us. In chapter 2, he's going to say, he's going to speak to some people who think, well, you've got faith and I got works, as if those things are mutually exclusive. I'll trust the Lord with my faith, whatever that seems to be for them. And the other one says, I'll just do works. Do the gospel, James says. It's already in you. It's given you, he's given you a new heart by it. Live it out. In other words, you become a walking billboard of the gospel. Walking billboard. That changes you, that perfects and completes you, and walking billboard of the gospel. Do the gospel. It's all sweet. There's wonderful promises for those who do this. Do you see them? Three of them. The word, those who do the word produce the righteousness of God. In other words, by doing the word, you're aligning your life to the will of God for you. Who would want to avoid doing that? You align your life with God's will. You fulfill or obey the righteousness of God. You follow after him and do what aligns with God's will. Secondly, here's another promise. The word is able to save your souls. So why would it not be something that shapes everything about me? Not just my head. Implanted in me, something that I do. Verse 21, he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So why would I move past this word? Like, why would I move past this gospel? The word is what God uses to save our souls. That's a promise. That's a wonderful blessing. And then third, he says it results in blessing. Verse 25. There's blessing for the one who acts upon this gospel. This is not just for my head. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. It's in me. I'll go where you go. It's all sweet. It's all sweet. Now, let's close with a little application. I said the majority of the words in verses 19 through 27 are application, and I'm just going to hit on them briefly because James is kind of springboarding us. He's summarizing most of what he's going to talk about the rest of the letter, and then he's going to shoot into all these topics in more depth in chapter 2 and following. But he's giving us some good, concrete examples of how to do the word. So this is the second part of the message, and we'll close considering these things. Examples of how we do the word. examples of how we live out the gospel as those who have it implanted in us. Jesus is our Savior. He's taken away all our debt. We are indebted forever to him and happily. Okay, so the first thing is there's three broad areas he's addressing, and they're all very important. First is you do the word in relation to your own yourself. In other words, your hearing, your speaking, your emotions. That's how he begins in verses 19 through 20. This is an example of doing the word. Be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. So do the word in relation to your ears. Be quick to hear. Do the gospel by listening. You can do the gospel by listening first. It's foolish and out of step with the gospel to give the quick answer before hearing. That's out of step with the gospel. Listen. Parents, listen to your children. Children, listen to your parents. Friends, listen to the one who's hurting. Get a full understanding. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can get a good understanding of a heart by letting them speak. Listen, listen, listen. Be quick to hear. And then also consider your speech, your tongue. Let every person be slow to speak. And he actually doubles down on this in verse 26. He says, the person who thinks they're religious but actually has got an untamed tongue, an unbridled tongue, is self-deceived. So this goes hand in hand. I think it goes hand in hand with having quick ears. Like, have a quick ear and a slow mouth. You need both. A quick ear and a slow mouth. Wisdom from above is slow to speak. And just in case, this is not just our words, like this is thoughts, like posted on the internet. This applies. Slow to type. Good reminder in these days, isn't it? Then consider your emotions. This is a big emphasis for James, just based on the amount of time he spends on it. Do you see in verses 19 through 21? Let every person be slow to anger. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Are you angry right now? There's a lot of things to be angry about right now. Jesus said, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Do the gospel with your emotions. Do the gospel with your emotions. Is there hate in your heart? Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Wow, pray for those who persecute you. Do the gospel. There's so much good in doing the gospel. There's a lot of anger in our country right now. Like, you might be angry. Many people witnessed a public display of evil a couple weeks ago. Multiple. Murder for everybody to see. Charlie Kirk, murdered for everybody to see. We were not made to see that. You were not created to see that. Injustice, a sense of injustice riles up in your heart and fills you with anger. Or even just at the general evil in the world. Killing an unborn child. Injustice. People are angry at one another. If there's a time for holy anger, and there is holy anger because God is angry and he never does anything wrong, just consider the words of James. He is very concerned for you if you're angry. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The anger of man does not produce behaviors that align with God's will. Behaviors that are coming from an implanted word in me because I have been forgiven in a tremendous debt. Be angry and do not sin. If you're angry right now, be very careful with your anger. Anger can quickly turn into revenge. Mocking and reviling can turn into vengeful reviling. I was reminded of that. Wanted to be a reviler when I was angry. If you're angry right now, consider the words of James. This is a trial in your life, and you might be tempted to justify sinful, hateful words to those who sicken you. Do not fail the test. Do not give in to temptation. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We've got to be very careful with our emotions as doers of the word. That's the first area. The second is do the word in relation to the needy. Do the word in relation to the needy. You see this in verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to actually press into this a lot. But I'll just say right now, we are called as the church to have a heart for needy people. Needy people inside the church, certainly, and even outside the church. We are called to have a heart for needy people. We do the word, we do the gospel by seeing the hope of the gospel in needy people. I think this is the solution and where Christ shines, his gospel, full gospel, the care that Christ had for needy people. Why were all the needy people the ones that Jesus was so caring for? Why should we see these people in their need? I think because the heart of the gospel is a message that it's a message of needy people becoming princes, sons, daughters, heirs of the kingdom. Bunch of needy people, that's us. Bunch of needy people, the church, becoming heirs of the kingdom. God reaching down to needy people. And so we should have a special heart for the needy. And we're going to see that, I hope, Lord willing, in James. Do the word in relation to the needy. And then finally, do the word in relation to the world. Verse 27. Religion that is pure and defiled, pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to keep oneself unstained from the world. If you look to the world for your doing, so you could look to the word, you could look to the world. If you look to the world for your doing, you're going to get a twisted gospel word. I just promise you, you're going to get something. It's going to be twisted. Here's some ways that the word or the world twists the gospel word. The world, it's got a twisted word, for example, on how to handle your emotions. The scriptures call us to control our anger, not give into it. Don't give vent to your anger. The world says you cannot control your anger. But here's some outlets to redirect your anger. Break something. Scream into a pillow. Punch the bag. You can't get rid of it. You can't be saved from it. You can't grow in that area of your life. Vent it somewhere else. That's a twisted gospel word. They're giving you a temporary solution. They're not giving you a gospel solution, which is Jesus transformed you from the inside out, and actually he can give you power to not give in to anger, to say no to anger. You don't have to break the dishes. You don't have to punch the bag to vent the anger. The gospel's got a word that says much better than that. And a final example. The world's got a twisted word on how to handle the needy. So there's lots of charity in the world. Lots of charitable endeavors in the world that do improve lives, the physical lives of the needy. However, if they are not because of and for the gospel, in obedience to the gospel, they're band-aids. They're band-aids on gaping wounds. There's gaping wound, deep need, and we put band-aids of money on things. If we can just get food, if we can just get water, and those are all good things, but if we can just get those things, the world will be a better place. No, it won't. It will not be just a better place if we can, if everybody's rich and everybody's cared for. It will not be a better place. The gospel word says we care for the needy expressly for Christ. So in other words, they will see our good deeds so that they may glorify God in heaven. We do good so that they glorify God. Good deeds for Christ. That's doing the word. That's a better answer than what the world has. We don't want to put band-aids just on gaping wounds. We go to the heart, we care for the physical needs, but and we do that with the heart of, will you see Christ? Will you see Christ? Will you see that I'm giving because he's given everything? So just in conclusion, just consider as where we've gone. He's only serving one course. And it's the word. It's the gospel word that transforms. It does something in us and to us. It's the gospel word that still transforms. That you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. As we look to the gospel word, may we do it. May we not just say, oh, that's an interesting thought. I like the idea of being saved. You are. Trust in him. Live it out. May it never be that it simply sits in our head as an interesting thought that I'd like to believe. Dive all in. Engage the gospel word. Do it. Take a second bite. Sweet salvation there. Second taste. Let's pray. And we need you. I pray that you'd be with us, God. May this word sink deep into our hearts. May we not, if there's someone discouraged, may they see the sweetness of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.